Well, here we are at the first Sunday of Lent, and in many years, I've used this Sunday to preach a topical sermon, if you will, on what Lent means and what we can do with it, and there's nothing wrong with that, no matter what Dr. Kaiser might say. Preaching a topical sermon is not something that you need to get on your knees and ask forgiveness about later. Sometimes it's useful. But I suspect by now you've heard me talk about Lent enough times that you've taken what is of value there and applied it to your own life as you so desire. And as I was thinking of the Lenten season, because I try to get a jump, if you will, on the various seasons of the church year, just to get some idea of where we might go, for this week, I kept coming back to what Peter writes and what was read for us, for Christ died for sins once for all. And I started thinking about that as one of these phrases, one of these things in the Bible that we all know. And we do all know this. I'm not going to blow your world up this morning or anything like that. This is one of those things that we know and we understand. And as such, you would think perhaps that we don't really need to spend much time with it. And yet, as I've also said before, often going back to things that we know and looking at them again helps us to see new parts about them, new nuances, new perspectives, give new information or new knowledge that doesn't change what we have before, it doesn't turn it on its head, but it enriches it. In the same way that even after years in a relationship with someone, spouse, family member, whatever it might be, you find things that you hadn't noticed before that don't change everything about this person. You don't suddenly think you're married to a stranger, for example, because you notice something different about your spouse. But it enriches that relationship. And so I was thinking about what does once for all mean? And we're pretty sure we know what it's about, and I'm not saying we're wrong. I'm not here to correct a misunderstanding. Once for all means that Jesus died once for everybody. That's a fairly clear indicator of the text, and it's useful for us to remember that. That Jesus died for everyone. He didn't die just for the Jews, which is what people thought at first. They thought Jesus had come as Messiah for the Jewish people to be a geopolitical kind of king, not the kind of king that he turned out to be. And Peter, who came from that context, Peter was a Jew, an observant Jew, is reminding everyone that Jesus came for everyone, not just for the Jews. Paul talks in Romans how the knowledge of God was given first to the Jews and then to everyone. And Peter is just affirming that. And in this statement, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God, that's open to everyone. But there's another aspect of this that we sometimes can lose sight of, and it's not as explicit in the text, but there's a very strong temporal, time-based sense here as well. That Jesus died once for all time. And we see that when we read further down, he was put to death in the body, was made alive by the Spirit. He went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago. We don't really know what that means. There's lots of learned speculation about what that could be. And I'm sure when we get to heaven, if it's a question that we still have, that Jesus will make it clear to us at that point. But what it does is it lets us know that Jesus' death wasn't just for those then. That the salvation of everyone that was accomplished by Jesus on the cross is independent of time. When an important person dies, we remember them for a long time, and we take strength from the memory of what they were like. We think of Nelson Mandela. Many of us watched his funeral on television when it happened and sort of grappled with all the contradictions of him. On one hand, he was considered a terrorist. On the other hand, he got a peace prize, and he brought freedom and brought all kinds of significant things. I suspect 100 years from now, people will still be thinking of Nelson Mandela and taking strength from his example. But what about 1,000 years from now? I'm sure historical specialists will know all about him, but will anyone else? I don't know. The effect of the death of significant people fades over time. That's just the way it is. But not with Jesus. The salvation that was wrought by his willingness to come here, live among us, die and be raised again, is as efficacious, is as significant, is as important and as meaningful and as alive now as it was the moment it happened. The all in once for all also refers to that. That this isn't simply a historical event from which we can draw the same kind of strength that we might draw from the example of, oh, I don't know, St. Francis of Assisi. Some of the early presbyters in the Kirk of Scotland who stood up for what we believe. We can draw strength from that, to be sure. But what Jesus did is different. In a very real sense, but in a very particular sense, it's as if it's happening now. As far as the significance of the event. Tony Campolo has ruffled feathers in many different ways over his career. And he was in Saskatchewan a number of years ago, and he preached a sermon on the transtemporal nature of the cross. And he was preaching it to seminary and college students and professors and things, so he felt quite free to get into the nitty-gritty of theological supposition. But in one very real sense, Jesus is always on the cross. Only in that one sense. He's not physically there or anything like it. But for those of us, when we need that encounter with God through Jesus that leads us to salvation, it is as if he is there right now. It's not an old event in the past that is losing its effectiveness. Because the effectiveness of Christ's sacrifice goes beyond time and is always. That's part of what once for all means. All of us and all times. But let's not forget the first part. For Christ died for sins once for all. He doesn't have to do it over and over again. That single event was sufficient for all time, for all people. And when we start doubting our salvation, we're starting to doubt how significant and how meaningful and how real that event was. I have known a number of people over the years who have been adopted, have adopted children, and have moved in that direction one way or another. And so, I mean, it's not a subject I know firsthand particularly well, but I certainly know of it. And I know that for some children, particularly those who have bounced around for a while, who have been in foster care, well-meaning, good people, but short-term, for some of these children, the once-for-all, the once part of their adoption is hard for them to embrace. And I've heard people talking about discussions they've had with their adopted children saying, no, you will not be adopted again. This is it. You're in. You're in forever. We don't have to ask for salvation more than once. In the same way that Jesus died once for all of us, for all time, that initiating encounter only needs to happen once as well. There's nothing that we can do that will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, as Paul writes in Romans. And there's nothing we can do that means that our sins are beyond what Jesus dealt with then, so he has to die again. And of course, nobody thinks of it in those terms, but sometimes we think that what we did or what that person did was so awful that they need a special category of salvation. Bev and I were talking about that, almost a reflex that we have, that it's almost impossible for us to look at sin from the same perspective that God does, where he says, sin is sin is sin. Doesn't matter. One's too many, a million isn't too many. Once you've sinned, that's what you are. Doesn't matter how much you sin, Jesus will take care of it. There's nothing that we can do that is going to require Jesus to come back, live another life, and die again. And for most of us, this isn't something we think of often. It's not very frequently that we think, oh, what I've done is so awful that Jesus needs to come again. But sometimes we almost live our lives that way. Sometimes we allow that distance to creep in between us and God because of our own sin, and we think, maybe this is too much for God. Maybe I need to pretend it never happened. Or maybe I need to just stay away from God for a while. No. Peter reminds us that Jesus came to live on earth, to die once for all, for everything and for everyone. As we move into this Lenten season, I don't know what you have chosen to do, if anything. You're not required to give up something or to add something in this Lenten season. I don't know what you have chosen. You can tell me if you like. It doesn't have to be a secret, but it's not a requirement. But whatever you have chosen to do or not do, I would suggest to you and to me, to all of us, that we spend a little bit of extra time in the Lenten season pondering a bit of what it means that Jesus came once for all. That Christ, fully human, fully divine, came here and his death was sufficient for everything forever. And in some strange way that we don't understand, even before it happened. And when we think of that, doesn't it make it a little bit easier for us to accept on that emotional level that when we take our sin for the first or the fifth or the 50th or the 5 millionth time to Jesus, that he's going to say, you're forgiven. Jesus will say, you're forgiven. Because he died once for all. Let's spend some time during Lent as we prepare for Easter thinking about that. Reminding ourselves that Christ came to die for all, for everything. For those trivial sins, if there is such a thing. To those most significant sins, if there's such a thing there either. When we think of these things, we don't ponder them so we can be weighed down by guilt. We don't ponder them so we can somehow think we're worthless. But rather, to get a richer understanding of how much Jesus has given us. So that Easter Sunday, already the best day of the year, this year will be even better. At that celebration that Christ took care of everything, for everyone, for all time, will enrich that celebration. Because we'll understand even more. We'll understand even better what it means for each of us. For Christ died for sins once for all. For you, for me, for everybody. Amen.